In-depth with Francis Rose on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. Usable news and information for your job. And now, here's Francis Rose.
Thanks for listening on Wednesday, August 14th, 2013, on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM and federalnewsradio.com. The Pentagon Solutions Program, every Wednesday in the 3 o'clock hour, features leaders from inside and outside the Pentagon looking at the challenges that DOD leadership is dealing with and potential solutions to those challenges. Today, our focus is on the strategic management plan for fiscal 2014 and 2015 at the Department of Defense. It is newly out from the Office of the Deputy Chief Management Officer at DOD, and it comes in the wake of a number of policy documents from the Department of Defense, including the 2010 Quadrennial Defense Review, the number of rebalances, and other documents. Of course, the most recent one is the Strategic Choices and Management Review, the skimmer that Secretary Hagel released just a week or so ago. The Deputy Chief Management Officer at the Department of Defense is Beth McGrath, and I talked to Beth McGrath today about the strategic management plan. My first question to her is where the new strategic management plan fits in the landscape of all of the policy documents that the Pentagon's released in the past several years.
The strategic management plan really is the home, if you will, of the business priorities of the Department of Defense, and obviously it needs to be connected to both our national strategy and defense strategic documents. And so the Quadrennial Defense Review is the document, I think, that is most notable from most people's perspective. And certainly the business space needs to ensure that we're achieving the overall outcomes of the Department of Defense. And so we must absolutely have alignment. Historically in the QDR, we don't have a lot of text that covers the business space. And so we felt it very important to ensure that we had a place to go that clearly articulated the department's business priorities.
Now, you outlined four goals here, and we'll talk about those in a few minutes. How are these goals similar to, different from the 2012 and 2013 SMP goals?
I would say, broadly speaking, they're very much aligned. I think we went from perhaps 7 to 4, but we really, I think, consolidated some of the goals that align to the acquisition technology and logistics space into a single goal, which is now goal 4. And we also took a couple of the broad-based goals around performance improvement and, you know, optimizing business processes, and turn those into strategic imperatives or guiding principles to ensure that we're constantly looking at things like, you know, instilling a cost culture, business process optimization, alignment to the core mission, those kinds of things, so that, you know, I think fewer goals with strategic imperatives or guidelines is how it really changed from last time.
The goals for 2014-2015, as outlined in the SMP, Goal 1, optimize DOD personnel. I'm paraphrasing these. Goal 2, strengthen DOD financial management. Goal 3, build agile and secure information capabilities. And Goal 4, strengthen DOD acquisition processes. And we have a link to the SMP at federalnewsradio.com/in-depth. What was the selection process by which you got to these, not necessarily just in the 14-15 plan, but as you mentioned before, the 7 that were in 12-13?
Yeah, so it really, I think, captures very nicely the business goals that the department is pursuing. The first one really looks at the workforce, the total workforce, both military and civilian, and has a lot of initiative nested under each one of those. And so certainly people are our most critical asset. I think that's true for any organization, be it public or private sector. And financial management, as you certainly know, the Department of Defense is aiming toward audit readiness goals both in 2014-2017. And so there's a lot of management attention, not only in Mr. Hale's organization, our comptroller, but across the department. And goal three, I think, really encapsulates the priority from a cyber information technology infrastructure perspective to say, you know, how are we using the infrastructure in a more optimal way? And also, how is it enabling us to execute our mission, both on the tactical side and the business? And then, as I mentioned, in goal four really encapsulates many different things that the acquisition technology and logistics team is focused on, most notably the better buying power. I mean, that absolutely is a focus that the department has. And so, you know, broadly speaking, it has really taken those strategic priorities that individually some of the components or organizations are leading and brought them all together so we can look at them in a much more holistic way.
And is that the main benefit that you expect to gain here? Because these goals are all things that independently at various times throughout the years the department has said, we want to do this, we're trying to do this, GAO's looked at the way you're doing these things, the Inspector General has looked at the way you're doing these things. These are all things that make sense for you to want to be able to accomplish. So is it this codification and this emphasis, that holistic approach that you think will make it more easily attainable this time around?
Well, nothing's easy, especially in an enterprise as large as we are. But I think that the intent absolutely is to take a much more comprehensive, holistic perspective on achieving the business goals. And so it's not just the responsibility of the comptroller, for example, to achieve audit readiness. It's everybody has to play. Virtually anything we do in the business space requires multifunctional participation, so comptroller and logistics or contracting or something. And so it really was a much more holistic way to bring them all together to say, hey, it's not just one vertical goal. It's horizontal and it's everybody all the time.
I'll direct you, Beth, to page 13 of the strategic management plan. You have a chart there that lists each of the goals and then outlines the key initiatives under each of those. And I'd just kind of like to have you give us kind of a tour of this document and talk about the various things that you're listing here. Let's start, of course, with the first one. The goal one is to optimize, as you mentioned, DOD personnel readiness posture. One of the things that you list there is ensuring that service members who are transitioning to veteran status have the tools they need. I talked to folks within DOD, Labor Department, Department of Veterans Affairs about that very topic. And I wonder if you're able to kind of span the globe on an effort like this to make sure that you're not duplicating or overlapping with what other agencies or different parts of DOD are doing within itself.
So I should say that this document does not represent every activity in the business space that's happening across the department, but it does highlight broadly these four goals and identify as titled these key initiatives. And an area such as veterans transition, to your point, is exactly I'll call it a team sport or a team effort to ensure that our service members have what they need when they need it. And it's so critically important to understand the process, the way the process is executed, and ensuring that we're optimizing each step of the way. DOD has a role to play. Labor has a role to play. VA has a role to play. It's ensuring that we understand holistically, end to end, what each one of the players, if you will, if he or she is meeting their responsibility in that end-to-end process. And so some of these are absolutely unique to the department, the key initiatives, but many of them require, you know, external partners as well to ensure they're doing their part so that the business outcome is achieved. And in this instance, that our military members are getting the information and the assistance they need.
This document says healthcare management opportunities to reduce overall costs will be identified through holistic analysis and validation of all systems being used to manage healthcare and services. What does that mean? In what way will you be looking at healthcare management to be able to try to achieve that one?
So the healthcare space has, over time, has many different systems. Just the IT piece that are involved are part of the health portfolio. So what, working in very close coordination with Dr. Woodson, who's the Assistant Secretary for Health Affairs here at the department, he has his arms around the portfolio of health information technology, not only what he has, but where he needs to go in the future. And so health is part of the business environment, and so it is a piece of the entire business portfolio that we're looking at to ensure that we have what we need, we have only what we need, to rationalize the IT footprint and also invest in the future where it makes sense. The establishment of the Defense Health Activity, I think, is also a terrific forcing function to bring all the military departments together, sort of under one roof, if you will, to enable greater optimization of both our IT, but also the way we execute the business of health.
You mentioned that, bringing the branches together, and that's kind of a theme that I detected throughout this document is an effort to do that. How do you balance the cultural issues that each of the branches seems to enjoy being on their own with the business case for combining in certain cases and maybe in other cases for not combining? Not, and I'm not just talking about
So independence is a great thing to many people, but when you're trying to move your organization forward, especially in the fiscal environment that we're all operating within, I think there is greater incentive for us to work collectively together to say, you know, how do we maximize our dollar, our taxpayer dollar, to ensure that we're putting it on the investments that we need, not maybe that we may have wanted in the past. And I do think the cultural challenge is difficult, is probably the most difficult thing in every one of these goals, is getting people to either change how they do what they do from a business process reengineering perspective, to let go of a system that they've used sort of potentially throughout their entire career, and to communicate to them, you know, how these investments really are moving, and these changes are moving the department forward. The status quo, we just can't afford it anymore, and so we need to move forward as an organization.
Beth McGrath is the Deputy Chief Management Officer at the Department of Defense. My guest to talk about the strategic management plan for fiscal 2014-2015 on Pentagon Solutions today on Federal News Radio 1500 AM and federalnewsradio.com. More about independence versus jointness when we come back on Federal News Radio 1500 AM and federalnewsradio.com.
They say a picture is worth a thousand words. Well, picture your family and home safe and secure with Ackerman Security Systems. Picture yourself controlling your system remotely on your mobile phone anytime, anywhere. Picture yourself getting video clips and texts of happenings at home before your kids get home from school. Picture everything you can do with the money saved by choosing Ackerman Security.
There's good reason Ackerman Security Systems is the Washington area's most trusted security company. It's because at Ackerman, security is all they do, and they do it better than anyone else. For just $18.95 a month, Ackerman monitors your home for burglary, fire, and medical alert. Already have a system? Switch for free and start saving. Call by Wednesday and get up to 3 months of basic monitoring free. Call 888-999-1070. AckermanSecurity.com.
Battlegrounds change, front lines evolve, but defense does not stop. How will you face down new threats with fewer dollars? Turn to Deloitte. We help leaders from CEOs to four-star generals deliver innovative, efficient solutions. With our private sector insight and public sector experience in technology, supply chain, analytics, and more, we'll help you shape the future of the DoD. See how at Deloitte.com/federal. Wherever you need to go, Deloitte sees you there.
Please join Max Kakis, host of FCA Answers, on Friday, August 16th at 2.05 p.m., where he'll be joined by a panel of government and industry professionals to discuss enterprise services. The panel will include David DeVries, Deputy Chief Information Officer for Information Enterprise at the Department of Defense. Don't miss FCA Answers with Max Kakis on Friday, August 16th at 2.05 p.m., right here on Federal News Radio 1500 AM and online at federalnewsradio.com. Sponsored by FCA International and brought to you by CenturyLink. Today's Human Capital Management Report brought to you by The Graduate School.
The Defense Department has reduced the total number of furlough days its employees will face from 11 to 6. Most civilians at the agency will take their final furlough day this week. Defense Secretary Chuck Hagel said the agency was able to cut the number of furlough days after finding an additional $1.5 billion in savings. Defense officials have said another round of furloughs or reductions in force are possible in 2014 if sequestration remains in effect.
Need to do more with less? Here's how to get more for less. The best value for your training dollars. Contact Graduate School USA, ranked the most affordable and overall best choice for federal training. They offer hundreds of top quality courses, including customized programs taught right at your location, online, or in Graduate School USA classrooms, conveniently located near L'Enfant Metro. Get more from your training budget. Visit graduateschool.edu. That's graduateschool.edu.
Tom Temin here with a preview of Thursday's Federal Drive. Who says lawyers are heartless? The president of the American Bar Association describes a major pro bono initiative. Lawyers want to help the VA clean up that disability claims backlog. Plus, from the latest report of the National Declassification Center, we check progress in turning old secrets into open documents. Those stories and much more tomorrow morning starting at 6 on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. And for all the latest federal news, be sure to visit federalnewsradio.com.
This is In Depth with Francis Rose on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM and federalnewsradio.com. Today on Pentagon Solutions, Beth McGrath, the Deputy Chief Management Officer at the Department of Defense, talking about the strategic management plan for 2014 and 2015, the fiscal years there. This document just out, and you can find a link later today at federalnewsradio.com/in-depth. In the last part of our conversation, Beth and I talked about the issue of independence of branches versus jointness. And I asked her if the advocates for independence of branches are finally getting the message that more jointness is coming and they can't avoid it.
I absolutely think so. I mean, we are all feeling the fiscal pressure right now. And I think that, under pressure, you think differently. And I think that I've seen people and organizations really look at, well, you know, if the Air Force has something that's working well for them, you know, the Army is looking to adopt it as opposed to building their own. When in, years past, when there was more money and they would have probably decided to do what was good for them only and not really expand their aperture to see what the other military departments were doing. But I also say that, we fight together. We fight in a joint environment. And I think over time, especially in the last 10 plus years of the respective conflicts that we've been involved in, it has really brought the colors of the military together much more, I think, than has existed in the past. And I'm seeing the same thing in the business space.
The second goal in the strategic management plan for 2014-15, Beth, is strengthening DOD's financial management. The first initiative on that list is executing a financial improvement audit readiness strategy. You're headed, of course, as you mentioned earlier, toward audit readiness by 2017, SBR readiness by 2014. The IG's office and the Government Accountability Office are skeptical that you'll be able to execute FIRE the way that you have detailed. What do you see as your confidence builder, I guess, that you're on the right track or will be able to stay on the right track and execute both of those goals? Because SBR, of course, right around the corner.
It is right around the corner, and we know it. The department has had what I'll call a multi-pronged approach to achieving auditability both for 14 and 17. So certainly the statement of budgetary resources, the assessable units, if you will, that they're looking at will serve as a great platform to then sort of bring us to the 2017 timeframe. We have asked each of the components, both the military department and defense agencies, to bring forward their financial improvement audit readiness plans. Mr. Hale and I meet with the corporate team, if you will, on a at least quarterly basis to track, you know, progress against the plans, understand what the roadblocks are. Either, you know, they don't have the right people, enough money, or what their systems impediments are. And so we have a governance structure, if you will, that Mr. Harrell and I co-chair, and then there are a couple, three layers below that who are really working this every day. It really has been illuminating for, I think, the entire department to really understand the business processes, because at the end of the day, the financial audit is a byproduct of sort of good, sound business processes and internal controls. And so it really has driven us toward tighter internal controls and understanding of our business practices. You know, I think that it's harder than we thought it would be, just given our very independent-natured business environment. We have systems and processes that have grown up very locally. And then for and not really understanding sort of the input and the output impacts. And so it has been both educational and informational in terms of the challenges that we face. But the systemic process that we're going through to look at all of those things, I think that we certainly are making progress. That coupled with the independent audit firms coming in to, you know, who do this stuff every day, showing us where improvements could and should be made, and you know, doing sort of mock audits, if you will, to give us some feedback early on, so that you know, it's not come test day, audit time, that we're learning these things. We're learning and improving along the way.
As recently as February of this year, the GAO looked at the fiscal 2012-13 SMP and made two recommendations. One you concurred with partially, the other one you concurred with in full. Description of key challenges and context for why goals were chosen was the first one. Further defining your performance management approach was the second recommendation they made. This, as I mentioned, regarding the last SMP. In this one, how did you address each of those recommendations from the GAO, or did you? Were you able to?
So I think, you know, I love GAO's input. I don't always agree with it, though. But in this instance, I absolutely, you know, appreciated their feedback. With the performance measures, we strive to have, I'll say, less throughput measures, fewer throughput measures, and more outcome measures. That's a much more difficult task to do. And I think that every year we have better outcome measures. But it's also educating people on sort of what a good outcome measure looks like. It's easy to count noses, but it's not very impactful. And so you really have to really shift the thought process of the department. But also the goals. Frankly, I think the goals are very solid because they represent the key initiatives or outcomes that really the business line owners, the undersecretaries, are after. They are critically important for us in our day-to-day jobs. And, you know, I wanted to ensure that this document wasn't a document that sat on the shelf, but rather was used by people to really drive to the outcomes that we're collectively looking to achieve.
When you responded to that GAO report, Beth, you wrote, the SMP exists within the context of a broader family of plans that supports and aligns to the SMP's highest level business goals. And based on other things that you wrote to the GAO, we have a link to those at federalnewsradio.com/in-depth. What I took away from your response was the information that they were asking for doesn't necessarily need to live in the SMP because it lives in other places on that landscape of policy documents that we talked about. Did I derive correctly from what you were saying, the point that you were trying to make?
So, yes, exactly. This is a historical disagreement between sort of me, my office, and the GAO with regard to a single comprehensive plan that includes everything. I mean, with an enterprise as big as the department, I think connective tissue is important so that there's an audit trail, if you will, to say, you know, here's why we're doing what we're doing, how it's linked to the strategic imperatives of the department, but not that it all exists in one place. That to me is not necessary, but it is something that the GAO has strived for us to do for a while. But then I think the onus is on us to show how everything is connected and that activities that are being done are aligned to the strategic outcomes that we're looking to achieve.
That's Beth McGrath, the Deputy Chief Management Officer at the Department of Defense, and you'll hear more from her in just a moment about the strategic management plan for fiscal 2014-2015 in a moment, including how parts of the Pentagon that need extra help to get ready for auditability are getting it. That's next on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM and federalnewsradio.com.
Life is filled with uncertainty, military life especially. AFMA can help you breathe easy through it all. Since 1879, AFMA has helped military families with low-cost military life insurance and the best survivor assistance. We're experts at helping you manage the complexities of military life and securing your family's financial well-being. Call 1-877-398-2263 today or go to AAFMAA.com to see how we can help you.
What do you want to be when you're older?
When I'm older, I want to be a singer. That's my goal.
An organizer of like do-gooders.
I want to be a media mogul.
When I'm older, I want to be anything but the one that doesn't fit in, the one that people don't love.
Everyone deserves a dream,
but some of us are depressed,
anxious,
angry,
scared,
don't feel like ourselves.
If that's you, say something.
Talk to someone. People will listen. Add your voice at okaytotalk.org.
okaytotalk.org. Brought to you by the National Association of Broadcasters.
Here's Rear Admiral Robert Day, CIO U.S. Coast Guard, on the Federal Executive Forum on Cybersecurity, sponsored by McAfee.
We thought we were in configuration. We weren't. And now with the tools that we have, we're being able to standardize configurations across the entirety of the IT platform, which then gives you the ability to secure better. So the tools we're getting, the new skill sets of the people that we're bringing in to look at this, those are really ending up providing us with a more secure platform.
To listen to the whole program made possible by Trezza Media Group, log on to federalnewsradio.com.
Federal IT organizations and prime contractors are experiencing a rapid rise in cybersecurity threats and compliance requirements. McAfee is the standard throughout federal military, intelligence, and civilian enterprises worldwide. McAfee's capabilities are essential to assuring federal networks remain resilient against the latest cyber threats. To learn more about how McAfee can help your organization combat cybersecurity threats, call 888-VIRUS-NO or go to McAfee.com/government.
Has sequestration and budget cuts made performing vital IT functions difficult for your agency? If so, it's time to explore another option with SUSE Linux, the open source leader. Save time and money by lowering the cost of your operating system and associated products with SUSE's expanded support program. It's the fastest way to save money on your next Linux renewal and lower the cost of licensing without changing any of your applications or systems. Learn more at SUSE.com/spendless. That's SUSE.com/spendless. Or purchase on SUPE through CDWG.
Keep your calm during emergencies. From the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, I'm Nicholas Garlow with HHS HealthBeat. Being prepared for an emergency can make the difference in stressful situations. Create a family emergency plan so you know how to get in contact with one another. Psychologist Dr. Dan Dodgen is with the HHS Assistant Secretary for Preparedness and Response.
The best way to stay calm is to stay informed, stay prepared, and anticipate to the degree you can what you're going to need during an emergency.
Consider the five things you need to survive and make a plan to keep those items in hand. Medications, electricity, and basic needs like food and water. You should monitor media, but remember that it can create added stress and pressures. If you feel stressed after a disaster, you can contact the Disaster Distress Helpline at 1-800-985-5990. Learn more at healthfinder.gov. HHS HealthBeat is a production of the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services. I'm Nicholas Garlow.
You may think modern-day slavery doesn't happen, but human trafficking is in every country, state, and neighborhood, even yours. Still, there are more people held in slavery today than any other time in human history. Breaking Out Corporation is a proactive anti-human trafficking organization that investigates, identifies, and brings victims home. You have the power. Go beyond just talk. BreakingOutCorp.org needs your help to free human beings from sex trafficking and slavery. Find out how you can help by going to BreakingOutCorp.org. Welcome back to In Depth with Francis Rose on Federal News Radio 1500 AM and federalnewsradio.com. My guest on Pentagon Solutions today is Beth McGrath, the Deputy Chief Management Officer at the Department of Defense, and we've been talking about auditability. And recently, three members of the United States Senate, Senator John McCain, Senator Tom Coburn, and Senator Kelly Ayotte, sent a letter to the Secretary of the Air Force expressing concern about their status for audit readiness and detailing the problems that they see in the Air Force's auditability readiness. And I asked Beth McGrath how entities within the Pentagon that need extra help to get ready for the 2014 and 2017 audit readiness deadlines are getting that help.
So I mentioned before there's a, I'll just call it a series of governance boards that meet. Mr. Hale and I co-chair the quarterly Financial Improvement Audit Readiness Board. And below there, you know, this is where the day-to-day people identify either progress that's being made or impediments to progress. And as those things are identified, actions are taken at various levels to sort of help either, you know, open up the roadblock that exists or provide resources or whatever the specific item that's been identified. And so there is, I'll just say, a mechanism that exists in the department to both identify when those things happen and also to help resolve or mitigate those items.
The third goal in your SMP, Beth, is to build agile and secure information capabilities. This is owned by Terry Takei and very ably assisted by Rob Carey. And my colleagues, Jared Serbu and Jason Miller, talk to them on an ongoing basis about some of the things that they're doing. I will say that one sense that I get from some of the reporting that they've done is that the branches still seem to kind of be going their own ways at lower levels and in various initiatives. How do you intend to kind of corral them all together and get them headed in the uniform direction that is kind of the point of the SMP?
So we already talked about the benefits, if you will, of independence. But I think that the clearly articulating the strategic imperative, getting everybody to understand this is where the department is going, and alignment then of actions and activities to achieving the outcome is really, really important. I think transparency and communication of those items also goes a long way. So this, we really aren't looking to, I'll say, just take money away from people, is to really say, hey, look, in this fiscal environment, we as an organization must be focused on a collective outcome, and we can no longer afford independent actors. And so an enterprise perspective is huge. And I think it does take both the top-down leadership engagement, and I think we have that in each one of these areas. It's really how does it permeate the rest of the department, because there are so many people. And so the culture challenge really is, I believe, the most difficult in any of these initiatives. As I mentioned before, it's really how do you communicate to the sort of the middle managers or the line managers that they should care and understand how, you know, what they do contributes to the overall good of the organization. So it's really trying to find a way to make it personal, so that they understand what's in it for them as an individual, but also for the organization.
Can you think of any instances where that's happening now successfully that could be best practices that you can translate across the agency?
Well, I think we've seen it in, frankly, I think the fire is as challenging as that is. I think that's a good example of, the strategic imperative was identified. Sort of the action plan was put together. We have strategic alignment in terms of the outcome we're trying to achieve. And then everybody understands their role by component in getting to the end game. And in that, it's audit readiness. And so I also think in the cyberspace, the joint information environment that the DoD-CIO is leading, I think more and more you're seeing people move toward the understanding of, hey, we're looking to optimize the infrastructure here, and we're looking to have the best environment for our warfighters to achieve their mission out there on the battlefield, but also in the business space to ensure that we're driving down costs. And one example, the Navy did reduce about 25,000 of their applications down to under 6,000. And really that was driven by both transparency of information, so the 25,000 items, if you will, they had riding on the network, and then the strategy to really drive those down in addition to some policy changes. And so I think transparency of data, really using that data to drive into a particular outcome is incredibly important. But I think, you know, it's a persistent dialogue that must take place, and the leadership must have just, tenacity to the nth degree here in order to help really drive the outcomes.
The fourth goal in the strategic management plan this year, this time around, Beth, is strengthening DoD's acquisition process. And there's a lot here that we could talk about, but there are two points in particular I want to hit on. The first initiative that you list is implementing and enforcing affordability-based constraints on program acquisition and sustainment costs. And I wonder, in an environment where vendors are already leery of low-price, technically acceptable awards, how you get the point across to that community that we're not just going to buy the cheapest thing all the time, that affordability-based constraints really means something different.
Yeah, I think that both the mandating affordability as a requirement and instituting, I'll just call it an investment strategy that gets you to achieving the affordability goals is critically important. I think part of this is also requires us to change the way we contract, and I'll mention a couple items. In the business environment, historically, we would, look to buy a commercial application, a COTS-based ERP, Enterprise Resource Planning solution, and we'd contract for a systems integrator. And it would be for a big chunk of capability and for a long chunk of time with, so base plus options. I think what we're doing now and what I'm seeing now, what we're driving, is to say, ensure competition and chunk the work such that we build in off ramps to ensure that if we need to, then we can to take those off ramps as just a natural course of a contract, as opposed to doing some sort of termination for convenience or something else. And so I think it really is approaching the way we contract differently to ensure that we both know what good looks like, and we both know whether or not we're hitting the goals the way the contract lays them out.
That's Beth McGrath, the Deputy Chief Management Officer at the Department of Defense, on In Depth with Francis Rose on Federal News Radio 1500 AM and federalnewsradio.com. When we come back, more with Beth McGrath on the 2014-2015 fiscal year strategic management plan on Pentagon Solutions on In Depth with Francis Rose.
At BAE Systems, we work relentlessly to stay ahead of the bad guys. One significant challenge every organization faces is cyber threats. That's why our experts leverage the world's most advanced cyber operations technologies, enabling us to preempt network breaches in minutes, not days. Knowing our work makes a difference inspires us every day. We're there on the next Friday. That's BAE Systems. That's inspired work. Learn more at baesystems.com/next Friday.
Today, federal agencies are awash in a sea of data. You have two choices: drift along or harness it. Turn to Deloitte. We help you reveal insights buried deep in your data. With our private sector insights and public sector experience, we'll help you make sense of the what-ifs and what's coming, so you can reduce costs and improve outcomes. See how at Deloitte.com/federal. Wherever you need to go, Deloitte sees you there.
Steve Richardson saved the life of a kidnapped 5-year-old boy. William Borucki helped discover Earth-like planets 1,200 light-years away. And Dave Brumell has been called the Steve Jobs of the Social Security Administration. These individuals are among the 31 federal employees named finalists for this year's Service to America medals. The awards honor feds advancing the health, safety, and well-being of Americans. Hear interviews with each of the nominees and learn more about their work at federalnewsradio.com. Search Service to America. Newsmakers, talk to Jason Miller.
Mary Beth Romani is the Chief Strategy Officer for Integrity.
When you're 36 weeks pregnant, you feel like the baby's never going to come, but you know intuitively the baby has to come. I feel like that's where we are right now. It feels like the government's never going to award most of these contracts, but when you step back and you think analytically, you know that they will be making these awards. There's so much pent-up demand, and the awards are obviously happening in a much different rate in the past.
Hear the entire interview online, federalnewsradio.com/Jason Miller.
Please join Max Kakis, host of AFCEA Answers, on Friday, August 16th at 2.05 p.m., where he'll be joined by a panel of government and industry professionals to discuss enterprise services. The panel will include David DeVries, Deputy Chief Information Officer for Information Enterprise at the Department of Defense. Don't miss AFCEA Answers with Max Kakis on Friday, August 16th at 2.05 p.m., right here on Federal News Radio 1500 AM and online at federalnewsradio.com. Sponsored by AFCEA International and brought to you by CenturyLink.
Hi, this is Hillary Howard. Join me October 12th and 13th for the Law Enforcement Ride and Run to Remember. This year we have 55 or 30-mile bike rides held at National Harbor Saturday, October 12th, and a 5K in Washington at the National Law Enforcement Officers Memorial Sunday, October 13th. The Law Enforcement Ride and Run to Remember raises funds and awareness while commemorating the service and sacrifice of law enforcement officers. Go to rideandruntoremember.org to register today.
We're back on In Depth with Francis Rose on Federal News Radio 1500 AM and federalnewsradio.com. Your DOD report brought to you every weekday afternoon at 40 after by BAE Systems. And we're continuing our conversation with Beth McGrath, the Deputy Chief Management Officer at the Department of Defense. In the last part of our conversation, we talked about the acquisition challenges at DOD and how they're being addressed in the strategic management plan for fiscal 2014 and 2015. And the other point of the two that I mentioned that I wanted to talk to her about is changing the requirements culture at DOD. Leaders in the vendor community, in the uniformed community, in the civilian community inside the Department of Defense all talk about a need to change the requirements culture and how requirements are developed, and I asked her how the strategic management plan addresses that.
I think it starts with leadership. It probably starts and ends with leadership, to be honest with you. I can give you the little bit of, I'll call it history in the business space on controlling requirements. When we first, probably 10 years ago now, ventured into this COTS world and procuring ERPs, these enterprise resource planning, we thought, well, how cool is this? But if it just did this one little thing differently or this other thing, you know, the way I like it, we got ourselves into a mode of customizations. And if you customize a commercial off-the-shelf application, you have then made it your own. And so when the vendor upgrades, you know all this, when the vendor upgrades, you then are left behind because you've customized your solution. And that really, I think, comes from the requirements process. You know, what is the requirement? What is the outcome? And how does this thing, this IT or this mission capability drive us, help us to achieve the outcomes? And it's for people to say, no, we're not doing customizations anymore because they're expensive and we can't afford it. And also we're left behind, you know, when the vendor upgrades or new capability, new more modern capability comes out, we can't plug it in because we have really hung too many things on the existing platform due to a sort of requirements growth. And so I think that it's, you know, the law just needs to be written such that, and I mean this not in a, I'm not looking for legislation, you know, people just need to say we are not customizing, or, you know, it must go to the 4-star to customize something. Same on the, I'll say the weapon system side. I think it is clearly articulating this is the requirement and saying there shall be no changes to this requirement until, you know, the first chunk book is delivered, and then we'll assess. I think it really is a both leadership and then a management of each and every program.
When that actually gets to what my next question was going to be, when you talk about leadership, is that OSD? Is that the top of each branch? Is that the uniformed leaders, civilian leaders, all of the above?
Well, I think it depends, which is a probably not the best answer, but it really does. So the only or people who should be changed in the requirement are the users. It is the IT folks or the developers, if you will, in the major defense acquisition programs. They are building a capability or configuring a capability to meet the user requirement. And so I think it is sort of the user right alongside the program manager saying, well, yes, sir or ma'am, if you want this capability, it's going to cost you X in terms of, you know, cost and schedule, and then here's what it does to you long term. And so I think it is both of those organizations really that have the responsibility to ensure that we clearly articulate a requirement that's actionable. I think it needs to be definitized enough that a vendor knows what to do with it, so that the there's no interpretation for if the requirement was met or not, because it's crystal clear. And so I think clear requirements plus the acquisition folks and the requirers or the users at the table in a very persistent way throughout the life cycle of a program is a must-have.
That's Beth McGrath, the Deputy Chief Management Officer at the Department of Defense, talking about the 2014 Strategic Management Plan. You can read that plan later this afternoon and hear my conversation with Beth McGrath at federalnewsradio.com/in-depth. When we come back, formulating policy like this in a time of sequestration and tight budgets, what impact do those issues have? She'll tell us next on In-Depth with Frances Rose on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM and federalnewsradio.com.
Information Management Minute, provided by Iron Mountain.
Federal agencies need to develop vital records plans for their agencies. The National Archives estimates 1-7% of an agency's records could be vital. Those electronic systems or physical records that are most critical to emergency operations or the preservation of legal or financial rights. Their plans also need to include specific measures for storing and periodically cycling and updating copies of those records, and a strong continuity strategy and emergency access plan in the event of a disaster.
Is your agency looking to realize better efficiencies and cost savings through a proven information management program? Iron Mountain stores and protects billions of information assets, including paper records, backup tapes, electronic files, and medical data, helping federal agencies manage their entire information lifecycle. Learn more at ironmountain.com/radio.
What is meant by the concept of tail spend? How can government executives best address the long tail of procurement and find better ways to manage the long tail of acquisition spending? Join host Michael Keegan as he explores these questions and the IBM Center report, Controlling Federal Spending by Managing the Long Tail of Procurement, with its author David Wild, next week on a special edition of the Business of Government Hour, a conversation with authors. Tune in every Monday at 11 a.m. on Federal News Radio, 1500 a.m.
The Federal News Radio United Way Charity of the Month is the Alzheimer's Association. More than 5 million Americans have Alzheimer's disease. Everyone is at risk, even you. Everyone can help, especially you. That's why the Alzheimer's Association needs you to do one little thing today. Call, donate, or advocate in any way you can. With your help, they can provide better support and find a breakthrough in your lifetime. For more info, visit federalnewsradio.com. The Federal News Radio charities are fed by Papa John's. This is In-Depth with Frances Rose on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM and federalnewsradio.com. Pentagon Solutions Today with Beth McGrath, the Deputy Chief Management Officer at DOD. And we're talking about the 2014-2015 Strategic Management Plan just out from the Department of Defense. And in this part of our conversation, Beth and I talk about formulating a policy document like this or any of the others the Pentagon's working on in an environment of uncertainty and tight budgets.
These are clearly the intent is to communicate what the business goals of the department are. Part of the fiscal constraint is felt in how do we achieve those goals. Many of these can be achieved through re-engineering our processes, and I would say that's a lot cheaper than buying a new IT solution. And so the goal of strengthening, financial managers I think, lives on. I think it becomes more important, frankly, in a much more fiscally constrained environment, as all these do. The more fiscally constrained we are, the fewer people we will likely have, and therefore the training of those people becomes more important. And so I think, throughout the list there, how we achieve these may vary as a result of the budget constraint, but that we will achieve them, I think, persists.
So the budget issues don't necessarily impact the selection or execution of the goals, even though they might potentially. If you don't have the resources to do some of the things that you talk about in this document, or you don't have all the resources that you need to do them, these are things that may still happen, but may happen on a delayed basis. Is that fair to say?
Well, that's fair, but it's also maybe today we were thinking we would, buy an IT solution to help achieve one of these outcomes. But given the fiscal constraint, we no longer can do that. And therefore, we figure out a different way, potentially through a business process change. I think it forces more collaboration and it forces the hard discussions to happen when the money isn't there. And so I think it does give the potential not to necessarily delay them, certainly that could be an outcome. But it also requires folks or enables them to really look at, is there a different way? I thought I needed an IT solution, but perhaps there's a different way to achieve this if organizations give a little bit more.
Beth McGrath is the Deputy Chief Management Officer at the Department of Defense, talking to me today on Pentagon Solutions about the strategic management plan for fiscal 2014-2015. We have a link to the SMP at federalnewsradio.com/in-depth, along with some of the other resources that Beth McGrath and I talked about. And you can find all of those, including my conversation with her, archived later today also at federalnewsradio.com/in-depth. Hour number two of In-Depth with Francis Rose is right around the corner on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM and federalnewsradio.com. And Pentagon Solutions returns next Wednesday at 3:00.